Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by the folks at Sour Humanoid Vinegar.
And Sour
when I say the folks, I mean my partner who just started this amazing vinegar brand. Sour Humanoid is designed for cooking, created by a New York City sommelier who got sober after working at Michelin-starred restaurants and curating award-winning wine lists. This vinegar is an excellent way to make any meal special with very little effort. Check out some of the easy recipes at sourhumanoid.com. And we've had Nick on an episode before. He's, you know, a fellow sober entrepreneur, and we're excited to have Sour Humanoid sponsor this episode.
It's an amazing story, and I will give a brief testimonial just because I don't cook, but I have sent Sour Humanoid gift packs as gifts over the holidays to a couple of my friends who are big cooks, and it got rave reviews. So user tested, customer tested. And all thumbs up.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome. It is Lisa, and I am here with my goddess, hottest BFF authoress.
Authoress. Okay, that is my new favorite. It's Tawny, authoress, sober sexpert, author of Dry Humping.
That's right. Buy it. Buy it for your friends.
We wrote books, Lisa. Like, we wrote books. I'm so excited that we can say that.
I know. I love it. And we have a topic today. You know, sometimes we see something in media that we think is important, you know, strikes us in a certain way. And there was a recent article, we have a link to it in the show notes, from the New York Times, and the title of it is Leaning into Negative Emotions. It's the Healthy Thing to Do. And so just as sort of, I'm going to read just like the first paragraph, the first few sentences, just to kind of set the table. It's written by Melinda Wenner Moyer.
Melinda Moyer. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a mouthful for me.
It's a lot. The M's and the W's. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So she writes, we're nervous about an upcoming work presentation, then lament our lack of confidence. We get angry at our partner, then feel guilty about our impatience. Our emotions undoubtedly influence our well-being, but recent research suggests that how we judge and react to those emotions may affect us even more. In a study published recently in the journal Emotion, researchers found that people who habitually judge negative feelings, such as sadness, fear, and anger, as bad or inappropriate, have more anxiety and depression symptoms and feel less satisfied with their lives than people who generally perceive their negative emotions in a positive or neutral light. So that really spoke to both of us, didn't it, Tawny?
It really did on many levels. Recovery is obviously like where my mind went here of like, yeah. I used to think, you know, being angry was bad. Feeling sad was bad. Fighting was bad. I used to think that all of these things were bad and that I should just be happy all the time, which is why I drank, because it made me feel happy. Because yeah. I didn't feel anything else. So, spoiler alert, that didn't work. It's not. Sorry to report. That led me down a pretty dark rabbit hole. But I really love that these new studies, these new behavioral science studies that are coming out. And just, I think this article is a great example of the visibility of just knowing that it's okay to have quote unquote negative emotions. You can have fear, you can have anger, resentment, anxiety. Like, you have to feel this stuff.
Yes. And it's what we hear a lot in recovery about, you know, feeling all the feels and, you know, not feeling our feelings, sitting in feelings. But what I love about this is that it adds the extra dimension of, yes, go sit in, you know, you have to feel feelings. You have to feel life on life's terms. This is what's happening. This is how it feels. But don't judge those, you know, if if it feels sad or you feel angry or, you know, it's a bad feeling you're sitting with, don't judge yourself for having bad feelings. Bad feelings are part of going through the entire process. And the author notes in here that when we make ourselves feel bad, like I talked just last week about how when my back goes out, I get angry at myself instead of just feeling like my back is out and then thinking, what can I do to next time to prevent this? I have to go back and create negative. I have to pile on some more negative feelings. So I don't feel well. And now I'm mad at myself. And now, you know, I don't deserve help. I don't deserve to get better because it's, you know, all of these, it's the add-ons. It's the instead, you know, it's not just sitting in the pain and thinking, I can do this differently next time, and that's okay. I have to go back and, you know, beat myself up. And so she says that when we add on these more bad feelings, it's likely to increase both the intensity of our negative feelings and the amount of time we suffer from them, mm-hmm. right? So something that when we're talking about feeling emotional feelings like anger, when I get mad at myself for being angry, I'm not only making it worse by adding on these feelings, I'm also going to increase how intense my anger is, and it's going to stick around for longer.
It's also quite meta to be mad at yourself for being angry.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, 100%. And it's like, there is a little bit of rightness there. It's like, yeah. If you did this, if you did X, Y might not have happened. Sure. Like that is a real thing, but there is no point in even going there because that's not helping you solve the problem at hand. And there's the expert that they quote, what's the name? Iris Moss. They say, many of us have this is in the same article. Many of us have this implicit belief that emotions themselves are bad. They're going to do something bad to us. And it's actually the judgment that causes the suffering. It's not the emotions that cause the harm. It's the judgment of those emotions that cause the harm.
Right. And this takes me also into sort of the 12-step idea of feelings aren't facts, right? So if I'm angry and I have that feeling, it doesn't, you know, it is just a feeling. It is not a fact of my life that has to stay that way. It is not something that I need to make decisions on. I just need to feel it, right? I just need to let myself be in that. And when I add on feelings like anger at myself, you know, again, I'm telling myself a story that's not a fact, right? I'm telling myself my back hurts because I didn't take care of it, or I'm angry because, you know, I didn't, you know, say it's something, you know, my husband did and I'm angry. I'll then add on, well, if I had handled this different beforehand, we wouldn't be in this place now. You know, all of these things, they're not facts. You just mm-hmm. got the feeling and the feelings do subside. I mean, there are actions we can take. We can journal about it. We can call a friend and moan. We can do whatever we do. We have to feel it. We have to get it out. Mm-hmm. Because she also says that it's not healthy to repress these feelings. You have to allow yourself to feel them, but don't judge yourself.
That's the hardest part. And there's this thing that I'm doing lately. It's like, I guess it's semantics, but I think it's helpful where I'm saying things like, instead of I'm sad or I'm pissed, it's like, I feel sad. I feel angry.
Right.
Those little shifts of adding the word feel in help me remember that it's not a fact. Like my sadness is not a fact. It is a feeling and it's valid, but it's not all of me. It is this feeling that I have. And I think learning Spanish is also helping me with that semantic switch, because it's like, you know, there in Spanish, you don't say I'm hungry. It's I have hunger. And it's all same thing with, like, you don't say I'm scared. It's I have fear. And I think if you can thinking about it like that, it really is. It's like that being hungry is not all of you. You just have, you have hunger. And then when you eat a sandwich, you're going to feel better. And fear isn't all of you, but you do have, it's okay to acknowledge that you have fear. Just yes. don't let it take over.
Yeah. Which can be much easier said than done. Right. So how do you deal with it? If you're like, oh, I feel fear. Like I just mentioned, maybe like journaling or calling a friend or something. Like, is that, do we need to have that in our, put that in our toolbox for when the feelings are, you know, are coming too hard, or when we start to judge our feelings and tell yeah. ourselves there's something wrong with us for feeling a certain way?
Absolutely. I mean, it's for me, like I said, just making those little word shifts, but also talking about it, like telling my partner, telling a friend, I feel this way. Just saying it helps because. Yes. If I keep that feeling in me, then it builds and then I assign judgment and then it, then usually resentment stacks on top of it. And it's quite unpleasant. But if I can just say, hey, I feel really overwhelmed right now. Hey, I feel really sad. It just helps. It helps me to identify.
Yeah. It does.
And you can journal, you can talk about it, you can meditate on it, you can bring it up in therapy or in the next peer support group you attend. And it's, I'm a big fan of just finding a, just, you know, like we always say, feeling your feelings, whatever that means to you, just, you really do have to let yourself feel that. And that is one of the hardest parts of recovery, especially if I didn't let myself feel any of those things because I just drank because I thought I was supposed to be happy. And then I was like, oh shit, I have all these other feelings too.
Yeah.
And learning to sit with it is it's uncomfortable.
It's definitely uncomfortable, but it is true. It's like, and for me, I had lost my tool for dealing with any kind of feelings because my tool was like, oh, I'm angry, I'm going to get a drink. Mm-hmm. I'm happy, I'm going to get a drink. Whatever my feeling was, I'm going to get a drink. Right. And so to, you know, when we sit in our feelings for the first time, it is a lot, right? It is mm-hmm. definitely a lot. And one of the things early, you know, that I found was helpful. I mean, part of it, the part of what drew me, and, you know, everybody's got their own path and their own way of doing this, but for me, it was 12 step, was to be in a room with people where I could say whatever I wanted and I knew I was judgment free. Mm. Right. Because I would also feel sometimes like I want to call a friend and bitch about this, or I want to whatever, but this is a luxury problem and they won't, you know, I feel bad. It's not, you know what I mean? Or like,
yeah.
I was afraid of other people judging it, which would
That's
keep
true.
It inside me. And, you know, once I spat it out at a meeting or, you know, or you could like write it down or whatever it is, once it comes out and it's actually kind of words that you can hold in your hand and, you know, turn around and realize, oh, this is what this is. This isn't, this doesn't define me. This isn't going to mm-hmm. be here forever. This is what it is. It's, and so I think this article was a really good reminder about keeping feelings in context also, which is a challenge.
Keeping feelings in context. That's a great way to put it. And I also want to say feeling your feelings doesn't have to mean like just sitting still and feeling.
Right.
It can also mean like, you know, I like to go to the smash room and break a bunch of shit. That helps me feel better. There is something to Emily Nagoski's new book about, or she wrote a book about burnout a few years ago, but then she really recently came out with this burnout stress cycle workbook of like the importance of completing the stress cycle. If you don't let it physically leave your body, it stays. That stress stays in you. So for me, I break shit where I go to a place where it is appropriate to break shit.
It's their business model.
It is literally exactly. Going outside, sometimes just physically changing my surroundings really just helps me feel a little bit better. If you're not really into like physical activity, it could also be painting or writing or drawing. Like just get, you have to get it out. you have to get that feeling mm-hmm. out in some way. There needs to be some sort of release, whether it's crying, breaking, or drawing.
Yes. Yeah. And I think you make a really good point of like, if we can release it, in that way, like with whatever it is, right? I mean, so there have been for me a lot of times where I'll start beating myself up about how I feel about something. And then I really have to, you know, it's almost like holding up a hand and being like, okay, stop. Like recognizing this article yeah. is so compelling because it made me recognize a rabbit hole I go down. And it's a good opportunity, you know, while I'm going through something that I'm angry about or something that I'm sad about, to do like to just change the channel, right? To go call a friend, to go
change the channel,
right? Like to get in, you know, get out of my own head, get in and help somebody else, right?
Or scream into a pillow, punch a pillow. That's
absolutely.
That I love punching pillows. Take a kickboxing class. Like it, you gotta get there, you know, what I'm saying is interesting to you, to listeners, what I'm talking about, it's called somatic release. Like look up somatic release of the importance of really breaking that stress cycle. And I'm saying stress, but it could be anything and whatever the feeling is, you've got to release and, whatever that means to you, just don't rely on substances. I mean, because then you're really not letting yourself feel your feelings if you are self-medicating those feelings.
Yeah, they're going to be, for me at least, they would still be sitting there when I sobered up. And then I would have not only the feelings still, but now I would feel shitty because I drank. You know, I felt physically and mentally shitty after just drinking at it. I drank at everything.
Yeah. And the hangover is going to suck.
Yeah.
We're dealing with all of that.
The emotional hangover of having, you know, done that. It's true. It's true. Yeah. I think for me, it's funny, like the physical, I don't really punch things. I don't really scream, but you know how I do scream is like, I put music on and I start screaming to the music with the, you know what I mean? I kind of like scream, sing. Like that is to me, and it's why I get a lot of, you know, weird looks walking around Del Mar when I'm out on my walk. But that is a huge release to me because I'm like singing the whole time and I'm singing like I'm not trying to be quiet. Usually there's nobody around. You know what I mean?
Like
I pass people, I'll shut up if I see somebody coming, but I feel an actual physical release from, you know, from like singing along to whatever it is. And usually it's got to be something like, you know, it's not ballads, you know. It's real. It's real rock and roll. It's like, yeah.
Okay. But what about Alone by Heart? That is a ballad that I scream to.
Oh, I love Heart.
I know.
I heard Magic. We were in Santa Fe and I was driving like over and it was in the mountains and everything. And Magic Man came on that I loved Heart. They were badass. It's
very, very ahead of their time. To those uninitiated, Heart was the, Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, the only female rock band.
I believe it was. The big rock band, yeah. Like they played arenas. Like they
at the
were
time,
a big band.
Yeah, yeah. It was sisters Anne and Nancy Wilson and their band members were men though, right?
Yeah, they had dudes playing with them.
I think the Go-Go's were the first all female band to hit number one.
I have to look that up because Heart was around very close to the same time.
But they're not all female.
Oh, well, they're not all female. No, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, the Go-Go's are like everyone in the Go-Go's was writing, singing and performing. I think that was the first. But fact check me on that.
Dudes in Hole?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I think there might have been. Hole was Courtney Love's band.
Yeah.
I love doll parts.
I did not get into them until Celebrity Skin. It was a little later.
But you like doll parts, right?
I had to go back. Yeah. What was the cover? Was that the Carrie-ish cover? The prom cover?
Yeah.
That was doll parts?
It was like Miss... Now I gotta look up the whole albums.
Yeah, whole discography. Because I remember Olivia Rodrigo recently recreated that album cover.
Right. It was called Live Through This.
Live Through
and
This.
And it was like a prom queen, carried out prom queen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Olivia Rodrigo did her own tribute to that. And I don't know how we've gotten so far from Feeling Your Feelings, but I'm into it.
Well, I'm totally into it too. It's all great music get out of your head.
Yes, it really is. And I like what you said about changing the channel. And that could also mean like changing the song, changing the TV channel.
No, like I have my list of music that I listen to get it out when I need to do and just in general, it feels good to do it. But particularly when I'm not feeling, great or I'm in a bad mood or I'm angry. And on my list, it started as like a workout list that went into my writing list, all of that. And, continues to build, but it'll come across like, one of my favorite songs is U2's One. And if One comes on, I have to, as much as I love that song, I skip past it because it's not what I need right then. I need to scream.
I get that.
Yeah.
Do you listen to any like screamo?
No. Do you?
No. I think screamo was a little after my time. And emo, that was a little bit, I didn't really get into that. I remember
getting a Fall Out Boy.
I was about to go into a Fall Out Boy story. How did you know? Me and some friends, we were, 20, 21. We bought tickets to a Fall Out Boy concert and we drove to Dallas to go to the show. We get there. We don't even leave the parking lot. We're in the parking lot and we look around and we're like, we are the oldest people here without children. And so we left. We didn't go. We did not go. We bought tickets to Fall Out Boy and we did not go.
That's funny.
I want to be at this concert, but I don't want to be around 15-year-olds.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like that's so funny.
So we just did something else.
I never, their music is kind of, some of it's kind of fun, but like it was not my, my mode, but I do like, and one of my screaming songs is Thanks for the Memories.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that would be my favorite Fall Out Boy song. And that is a really good one to scream.
When I've talked a lot about growing up in Waco, bartending in the Waco scene, in the Waco college scene. One of the jobs I had, I bartended at a steakhouse called Diamondbacks. And it was an upscale, really nice steakhouse. And like, this is where like they had banquet rooms. This is where like if famous people are in town, they would get a banquet room. Pete Wentz came in.
Like, this Pete is when Wentz, lead singer of Fall Out Boy.
Patrick Stump is the lead singer of Fall Out Boy.
That's right. He was the lead guitarist.
Yes. So Pete Wentz, this is when he was married to Ashley Simpson.
Oh my God.
And Jessica Simpson, Ashley Simpson, they're from Waco. Yeah. So apparently they were also there, of course. But they just kind of looked like everyone. And I say that because in Waco, right by Baylor, everyone is like beautiful and blonde. And so I didn't even look twice because they looked like college kids.
Everybody else. Yeah.
But Pete Wentz walked by and he does not dress like other Waco kids. And I was like,
he did not.
Oh my God. That's,
he did not blend into the scenery.
He did not blend in with his little emo haircut and his all black and his eyeliner. And I was like, guys, that's Pete Wentz. And no one knew what I was talking about. They were all worried about Jessica Simpson. And I was like, that's Pete Wentz, you guys.
That's so you. I can completely picture you in that scene.
Yeah, that's that, so you know.
Funny. Yeah.
And now they're no longer together, but whatever. Who cares?
We have diverged. But I think it's okay.
We need these episodes sometimes.
We needed to feel our feelings on this one.
I think we had a lot of unresolved Fallout Boy stuff, and I think we've worked through it.
I do like Panic at the Disco.
Interesting. I am neutral on Panic. What do you like about them?
I'm neutral to. I liked Panic at the Disco, I think, better than Fallout Boy in general.
Yeah. But I really like the. I like the drama, the theatrics of Panic. Like, they're definitely like a theater kid band, and I love that.
Yeah.
And I like, they started out as a Blink 182 cover band.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
But they had an association with Pete Wentz, too.
What did they do with Pete Wentz?
I think he, like, discovered them or helped them get their start.
Oh.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fact-checking we need to do on this episode.
I know. It's crazy. So, yeah. Well, the song that I had been thinking about is Music Minute for this episode when we were talking about, you know, leaning into negative emotions was from what I believe is a very underrated Stones album, Emotional Rescue. And I would say the song Emotional Rescue is a good one on that when you're in those snowball feelings.
And 19th, was it 19th Nervous Breakdown?
19th Nervous Breakdown, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's a good one.
It's a good one.
So we hope you got something out of this episode. And, you know, we wandered off point, but anyway, we're grateful for everybody who's been listening. And
Pete Wentz, if you're listening,
come on the show.
Let's hang out.
We'll do an update.
Exactly. I want to know how your steak was. Let me know. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we hope you have a good rest of your week. And please feel your feelings.
Yeah,
you're not your feelings,
and not alone.
And you're not alone. And we love you. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.